Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 9:01 on ESPN 97.5. We didn't talk about it yesterday. What did you think about the Eagles and what they did?
We talked a little.
I mean, to me...
Nate Sudfeld never gave you a chance to win a game. That's crazy. He was playing, Jalen was playing poorly. But at the same time, that's the guy that you just benched your franchise quarterback for. So you stick with, unless that's a subversive way to quickly undermine Jalen. Because I don't think Jalen is going to be a really good quarterback in the league. But I'm not sure that your other quarterback is anymore either. Carson Wentz, yes, you can argue that, well, hey, sometimes quarterbacks have a really bad year. This is unbelievably bad for Carson Wentz. He looks absolutely terrible. I mean, just terrible. But this could be a subversive way just to undercut the confidence in, or to show the public an undercut in confidence of Jalen Hurts as not being the guy so that he can go back to Carson Wentz when he needs to next year. But there's a story that came out that said although we've seen this stuff before, but that their relationship is fractured beyond repair and yada, yada, yada. And apparently it is a tradable contract if you have the money. And this just in, we talked about the teams who have have head coaching vacancies. A lot of those teams do have money to make a deal for Carson Wentz, depending on what the trade would look like. But I just thought it was weak. And I don't know why. I don't blame Joe Judge, the head coach. We got audio from Joe Judge. Listen to Joe Judge right here.
He's the Giants head coach.
The Giants head coach, they had a chance to make the playoffs. Yeah, it's a garbage record, but that was gonna come out of that's what was coming out of the East. And he needed the Eagles at home to beat the Redskins, and it looks like they just threw in the towel. The Eagles did. What benefited it? Was it of the Eagles?
They went from 9-6 in the draft.
But that's really what it was, about 3 spots in the draft?
Why not?
Maybe it was that, like I said, and undercutting the Jalen Hurts thing if they wanted to go draft another quarterback. Anyway, here's Giants head coach and guy who lost out on a playoff spot, Joe Judge.
We had a lot of people opt in to this season. Okay? We had a lot of people opt in. All right? Coaches, players. That includes family members as well. All right. So to look at a group of grown men who I asked to give me effort on a day in, day out basis and to empty the tank, and then I can look them in the eye and assure them that I'm always going to do everything I can to put them at a competitive advantage and play them in a position of strength. To me, you don't ever want to disrespect those players and their effort and disrespect the game. The sacrifices that they made to come into work every day and test before coming in, to sit in meetings spaced out, to wear masks, to have shields over those masks, to go through extensive protocols, to travel in unconventional ways, to get text messages at 6:30 in the morning telling practice is going to be canceled, we have to do a virtual day, okay? To tell them, please don't have your family over for Thanksgiving. Please avoid Christmas gatherings. We know it's your wife's birthday. Let's make sure we put that one off to the off season. There's a number of sacrifices been made by all the players and coaches in this league. There's a number of sacrifices that come along as well with the family members of the people connected to them. To disrespect the effort that everyone put forward to make this season a success for the National Football League, to disrespect the game by going out there and not competing for 60 minutes and doing everything you can to help those players win, we will never do that as long as I'm the head coach of the New York Giants.
pretty strong words for Doug Peterson.
It is disrespecting the game.
A couple of guys in the locker room, a couple of offensive players came up to Doug Peterson and wanted an explanation, and then a couple of defensive players had to be held back from Doug Peterson in the locker room after the game.
Blaz, you know,
I'd be surprised if...
Is there a chance he still... I think there's still a chance he loses his job.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. Now, is there any chance he got the word from on high, lose this game?
I don't think so. We want the extra three picks. I mean, it is very unusual for a coach, of any coach, to be willing to lose a game. Like, I know people think it's easy to tank. These guys' reputations and legacies on the line. And it goes against to lose. It really goes against, you can't sleep at night. It's your self-worth. Like, this is who you are. So if they're losing, you feel like a loser. It just doesn't make sense that a coach would do that. So maybe to that point, maybe but I don't see how Jeffrey Luria, Super Bowl winning GM, owner, and somebody who understands that you can get good draft picks from anywhere. For three draft slots, you embarrass your whole organization and piss all your players off. It's such an unusual move. I don't know where it would have come from.
Yeah.
Is there a chance that he really thought that?
That Nate Sudfeld deserves some snaps?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no chance. There's no chance. The only explanation is that they tanked to get a higher draft pick, that they didn't give a rat's ass about. They hate the Redskins less than they hate the Giants.
The football team. They hate the football team.
They hate the football team less than they hate the Giants.
I mean, so if the Cowboys had won.
Not an ally in 2021.
If the Cowboys had beaten the Giants earlier today, would they have tried harder or would they have done the same thing?
No, same thing.
Okay.
They hate the Cowboys. Everybody hates the Cowboys more.
Okay.
But here's the thing. Giants, shut up. You won six games. Shut up. We need
But they
help.
Tried their hardest.
We should be in the playoffs, not the football team.
Joe Judge didn't say they should be in the playoffs. He just said, hey, we won't be having that type of nonsense as long as I'm the coach of the Giants. We won't be throwing games.
Yeah. Well, welcome to Jacksonville. I mean, Jacksonville was just piss poor.
They just stunk. The only team – see, the problem is at some point the Jets and the Jags stopped trying. Actually, the Jets didn't ever stop trying. The Jags stopped trying to win because they could have kept Gardner Minshew in. He's better than Mike Glennon. How does it feel to be like the second worst team in football who's actually trying as the Texans? Like, the Jags didn't try. The Jets tried, and in fact, the Jets were better than you down the stretch.
Yeah.
The Jags, well, it's funny, the Jags are competitive once they had number one locked up. They're like, all right, let's see if we can beat the Colts again.
They weren't better than the Texans. The Texans were competitive in every game.
The Jets won games. The Jets beat the Rams.
They were blown out in a couple of games.
The Jets beat the Rams down the stretch.
Yeah, so?
Yeah. They beat two playoff teams.
The Texans were a Keon Crossing away from beating the Titans.
The Jets beat two playoff teams down the stretch.
They got their ass handed to them in three others.
Did the Texans win? When the last time the Texans won a game?
Like 6 weeks ago.
All right, then. The Jets were better than you down the stretch.
No, the Texans were competitive in every game.
The Jets won, though. I don't care about competitive if you don't win.
Look at moral victory, John.
Yeah.
Somebody asked, who brought the Battle Red Kool-Aid into the studio today? Hey, it's a new year. It's a new us.
It is.
Okay?
What are you talking about? You're not excited about your team now?
Is there any such thing as a football Thundersticks?
No, that's another Houston Texans.
First down.
That's what John has. That's what we do every time John goes in on the Texans and how much he loves them.
Are you okay? You tell me if you're sitting in your car right now, listen, that you're not excited about the way the Texans are going about their business.
JJ,
what? I'm not doing it. I'm talking about how excited we are about our team right now. That's another Houston Texans. Interview.
We're doing it for interviews now.
Same thing. Nice. You're down 25 points in the fourth quarter, and you go, that's another Houston Texans. This is what John's doing. The Texans as a franchise are down 25-0 in the fourth. I mean, by 25 in the fourth quarter.
We got a first down. So you know what? There's still hope. Oh, you've never seen a team come back and win down 25?
Not the Texans team.
Yep. Yeah. With Deshaun. As long as we got Deshaun.
They don't have a first down. All they did was call a play. They didn't hire anyone
yet. That's all they did.
All they did was call the play.
That's all right. And you know what? The play call was a great one.
Well, we don't know if, now if we it's just been executed.
That's all.
We'll see. But yeah, maybe you didn't get another pie, did you?
I did.
Yeah, you better check on this. Is there any chance that he had another pie? Did they send you over any type of like candied nuts or
no.
those really delicious cinnamon pecan cashews?
No, but there are some cookies out in the...
Are they from the Texans?
I don't know. They could be.
I mean, to be fair to this whole scenario, Kyle's not getting the bang for his buck because as much as John is giving him props for his process so far, he still said Gilbert should be in charge of personnel over Cal. So, Cal, you better either up the deliveries or, hey, ask John for more because he's not giving you everything.
I didn't get one. I'm just excited about my club. I can be excited about
okay.
my club. Okay. I am.
In the offseason, huh?
Yeah.
You think they're going to win this offseason?
I think they will win the
offseason. How do you win the offseason when you don't have a first and second
round
pick?
You get a great GM and coach. Okay? I'm going to call it right now. Ozzie Newsome and Joe Brady. How about that?
I'm fine with it.
Ozzie Newsome for Joe Brady.
I'm good with it. I'm a little concerned about Brady being so young, but I'll take a chance because he is, I think, a really good offensive mind. And I think Deshaun, you know, could either be really good or he could be great. And it might be a matter of taking that next step right now in his process to turn into great, to do the little things that, you know, that he's not doing, to do those things. And then personnel-wise, you leave it to Ozzie. Because let me tell you what would happen here. There'd be no doubt that Joe Brady would be the coach and Ozzie would be the GM. There yeah. would be no,
oh, no.
worry about
distinction of power. You think Joe Brady's going to tell him, I want to buy the groceries? No, Joe Brady go, sir, thank you for my players. Thank you. Would you like to have the roster? Joe Brady go, you want roster decisions? Whatevs. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Because guess what Ozzie Newsome does well? Picks players.
There would be no doubt that, by the way, you start getting a lot of Alabama players, but there would be no doubt that you wouldn't have, because remember, he was on the same staff with Nick Saban and Belichick and all that. Ozzie was over there. Ozzie's been with them before.
Yeah.
So he's a big, like you'll notice there's a lot of Alabama guys that go to New England, Baltimore. Marlon Humphrey, Dante Hightower was that way. I gotta start recalibrating my, maybe not as many over there in Baltimore. But regardless, good players go there.
Yeah.
He typically drafted good players.
Oh, no. He drafts a lot of really, really
didn't
good players.
Didn't he draft Upshaw?
Yeah.
Courtney Upshaw?
Courtney Upshaw was, yep. Yeah, you got to go a little further back. Not offensive lineman I can think of, but Courtney Upshaw was that edge they had.
913 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. 713-780-3776.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So, what do you think the national championship game tickets are going for?
How many are there?
Not a bunch.
Man, supply side low, demand side, I would imagine. Those are two pretty damn crazy fan bases. I would say 2,000?
It's 1,200 right now just to get in the building.
Yeah.
Just to get in. Now, yeah, I mean, it's stupid. Down low. And
where's it being played?
It is in...
It's Miami.
Miami, the Orange Bowl.
I wonder if I can get a press pass in time.
In Miami. Upper sidelines. I got them for 946 here. Upper corner. All uppers.
You just know you could move down.
You can't.
There's no way they can tell.
No, you can't.
You look at all the huge gaps.
Especially now. With you got all those people. No. Those numbers are before the fees. By the time you're done with the fees, 946 is the lowest. By the time you're done with the fees, it's another couple, 200 or 250 bucks. That's on sites. I don't know. Let's see. 1,500 of space. I don't know what the number is, total number of fans that they're going to let in. Did you see a number?
No, I know Florida doesn't have the same restrictions, but the Dolphins handle that, and they've kind of been steadfast on 25% for their games. I don't know if they'll open that up for the title game, though.
Boy, talk about an ardent fan, an avid fan, what he'll pay to be one of the 25%.
Oh, no, can you come up with these two fan bases? This is the cream of the crop, yeah, fan base in terms of going that extra mile. I mean, for Alabama fans, it's a different way of life in the SEC. I mean, things can get violent. They kill trees. We saw a guy kill historic trees, an Alabama fan, in Harvey Updike, because he just didn't like that Auburn won. So he didn't like that Auburn was a little too uppity. So he put spike in their trees and killed them. Tumor's Corner, killed them, went to prison. They're different. We've heard stories about LSU and Alabama fan. With the Alabama
fan came and stuck his spike in my booty.
Well, yeah, but the Alabama fan, I think, teabagged the LSU fan, right? On Bourbon Street, isn't that what we saw? Alabama, or was it the other
fan,
way around?
Yeah, LSU fan sleeping, he teabagged.
Yeah. See, that's not normal. SMU and TCU doesn't do that to each other. I don't think Stephen F. Austin and Sam Houston do that against each other.
Well, no.
Do the Longhorns and Baylor do that to each other, the rivalry games?
Do they stick their finger?
It's not a rivalry game?
No. To answer your question, 16,000 people will be allowed to attend.
16,000?
Yes. 20%.
Those tickets are going up. Those tickets are going up. That's right now. You better grab them now if you want to go to that game.
I'm just looking at it from the Ohio State side. If you're the school was given $3,750 in terms of number of tickets, and they only went to guests of players and coaches, donors, students. So no tickets are open to the general fan, at least from the Ohio State side. You have to go to secondary market to get them.
And it's going to cost you. Who you like in the game, though?
I don't want to allow one game to change my thought process. I thought Alabama would win, but I wasn't so sure that Alabama would dominate whoever came out of that semifinal, just because their defense, at least against elite competition, ain't great. I still think Alabama wins. I think the Alabama offensive line will fare better than Clemson did, so they'll be able to run the football a little bit. And I still like their receivers against Ohio State secondary. I don't think Sean Wade, despite the blowout, did not look good. And he's allegedly their best corner.
Sean Wade does not look good at all.
Sean Wade he wasn't good last year. We thought, maybe it was. And people keep putting him in the first round. I'm like, at what point are you going to let the tape speak? Sean Wade can't cover outside. He just can't. He looks good. He runs fast. He's long. He just can't stay connected to routes. He's not that good. Somehow he won cornerback. He won top defensive back over Shakur Brown, which is crazy. Shakur Brown's tape is fantastic from Michigan State. And Sean Wade, Christian Fulton. I didn't think Christian Fulton was that great from LSU. I thought he was, to me, more like a third-round talent. And now he's struggles a little bit with, where is he, at Tennessee?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a starter there. But his tape wasn't that great. Sean Wade's tape is worse.
Yeah.
Christian Fulton had okay tape. He had okay tape. Sean Wade has tape that's problematic. So that's why I'm thinking, okay, Alabama's going to score a lot. But that's why I was hoping hoping this number was like 67. I was like, please let it be 67. It's 75.
Here's the thing about that 75. That's a 40 to 35 game. One team will score 40, but the other team ain't scoring 35.
I don't think. You're talking about a Clemson-Alabama. Now, we've seen it with Clemson-Alabama. Does Ohio State have the same balls that Clemson had with Deshaun and then with Trevor Lawrence? I don't know.
I don't know.
They didn't for most of the year. Found it against Clemson in the last game.
Yeah.
That Clemson defensive and offensive front just they were completely overmatched.
No, I don't. One team is going to falter in this game. What, and you know what? And it could be Alabama. I don't, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that Ohio State wins this 42-21. It's not beyond the realm of possibility.
I would be surprised if they held Alabama 21. They could still blow them out. I mean, they could win a two-score game, but I would be surprised if that Ohio State secondary holds them down, just because I don't think their secondary is very good. The fronts I like, but as long as if Alabama can protect Mac Jones, I think he'll do something, because Ohio State's secondary is way below standard, at least for them. But I don't disagree that Ohio State could win the game. I mean, honestly, they're probably the second most talented football team in the country. I mean, Georgia had some of that, but quarterback play was a problem for them early. Ohio State, Alabama, right there neck and neck as far as talent is concerned. And if they're that close in talent, why not? Tell me Ohio State couldn't beat them on Monday. I can see it.
Absolutely. No, Ohio State can win the game. Ohio State can win the game. Now, 7.5. It'll be interesting to see which way the betting goes.
I wonder if the other thing, now it's a national title game, but Ohio State, they're all year, we've seen all the stories. The score of the last year's Fiesta Bowl was in there. 29-23. That's what they lifted weights to. They finally got over Clemson. I don't think they'll take a breath, but I wonder if it's like, and all of a sudden Alabama's rolling through, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. We didn't reach the mountaintop. We actually have another game to play, and it's Alabama, who's better than the team we just beat. I wonder what the emotional thing will be finally beating Clemson after what they've heard about that.
Well, I certainly think Dabo played into it. I think he put a chip on their shoulder, and he said, watch this, the 11th ranked team in the country. And I don't think that's left him. I think a lot of people doubted them. And, you know, there's always it was us against the world. Actually, in this case, it really was you against the world. Yeah. A lot of people.
Certainly the fan bases. I mean, now,
the
media,
fan bases of
just A&M, college football. College football in general.
Yeah.
Now, media, for the most part, has said Ohio State's not their fault that they only played a certain amount of games. They have talent. I don't think the media has been so all in, but sure, fan bases, that's just college football, how it works.
Well, and let's face it, it has been an advantage that they play fewer games. It is an advantage. Look at Ohio State. Alabama lost Jalen Waddle.
The counter would be for Ohio State. We never found ourselves as a team because we didn't play enough games. And thankfully for us, it came together. But we've been shorthanded because you can get better as a team as the season goes along, as opposed to just being able to avoid injury. And you would say, hey, we never got in a rhythm, and you saw what we can be when we're at our best. We'll see if they have another one of those performances.
Yeah, we'll
Monday.
See. 926 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776.
You know, the one thing from that, I feel like this was finally the comeuppance for Brent Venables. Look, you can't keep rolling out Specter and your two kids and Skalski. At some point, it catches
up. I don't want a defense coordinator's kid out there.
Multiple.
In the defensive back.
He's got multiple kids who play.
He's got two?
Like, his kid's safety played because... Turner, but his linebacker son was hurt, so he didn't play.
I forgot about the linebacker.
He has two kids in the depth chart.
I didn't like hearing that. Like, when I heard there was a Venables, like, oh no! Just like there's a Stoops, right? Who's the other one? There's another coach.
There's a Drake Stoops.
Drake Stoops, but he's all right. He's a typical little slot
receiver. He's whatever. But you got two of your kids in the depth chart. I was like, look.
That's not championship football.
Stop it. All right, look. I know you think you can get away with everything.
Unless your defense coordinator's name is Patrick Surtain. It's not. I don't want your kids here.
And it's not.
I mean, at some point, look, you can't fake us out that long. Somebody, I know the ACC won't put those guys to the test, but at some point you're going to realize you can't play your mid-three-star kids. You can't.
Mm-mm. Are you shying away from? Okay, we'll do it on the other side. 927 ESPN, 97.5. I just saw Mel Kiper's big board. Some questions for Lance.
Is he copying me again?
He is. Some questions.
I haven't put anything out, so they can't copy me. Well, although Mel and I think similar. I saw his top 10 list per position. I'm like, I think Mel's on top of it this year.
Really?
Usually these guys are a little slow with, like, the Sean Wade stuff. They're still, I don't know what that is.
What do you think Mel said about yours when he saw it? Man, I think
Lance Erlein's, that's a really quality list. I like what Lance does a lot. I think he's a really fine draft analyst. I think he does a lot of really good stuff. I think there's a real problem with durability. Durability is going to be an issue with Lance. There's a lot of problems with him eating cookies, sweets. I think that's going to be a problem anywhere he goes. Having too much sweets.
He's a bad body. Problem. You're a bad body
Diabetes
guy?
Diabetes could be a problem.
Are you a bad body guy?
That's now, but Mel I'm working on you? It, Del.
That what Mel would call you?
I'm working on it.
Is that your boo-boo juice?
We'll talk.
No, it's not. It's
Are you fasting again?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just going to point out.
I got to get to fasting.
You didn't
again.
Even eat any cookies.
No,
then,
you didn't.
I'm going to go grab another
it's
one.
It's literally killing
There's me. Not an intern for him to steal from. He's not attractive anymore. Before we go, let's look at an offer list. Coastal Carolina, actually a good team this year. Jacksonville State, Nevada, Wake Forest. Those are Tyler Venables offers, and then Clemson is on the list as well.
Oh, see, that's no good.
Come on.
That's no good.
Knock it off, Brent.
Just because, okay, it's understood. Nepotism may get you a scholarship, and you may be on a team and get to do a towel like this, or you get to do this on kickoffs.
Dance on the sideline?
Yeah. Jump up and down.
The hype squad on the kickoffs. You don't get to play in a college football playoffs.
Yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. You get to get blown out.
You get to be on the hype squad for kickoffs. You don't have to worry about, you know, if you're in man or if you're in off-man coverage, do you have man coverage responsibilities? Are you short zone?
And he was a
true... The Venable kid should not be playing.
He's a true freshman, and he was playing. A true... Look.
They deserve to lose.
929 ESPN, 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So Mel's big board, he's got, okay, let's just talk quarterbacks. He's got Trevor Lawrence, one, and he's got Justin Fields, his second quarterback. He's got Fields going third. He's got Penei Sewell. Do you have Sewell number two overall in your on your no?
He's not even my top offensive lineman.
Really?
Yeah. So far, Slater's higher than him at Northwestern.
He doesn't have Slater. Oh yeah, he's got Rashawn Slater as 17th overall.
Yeah, he's wrong.
Okay. He's got Samuel Cosmi, 19th overall.
Wrong. Way back.
Way back?
Yeah. Nobody in the league likes Sam Cosmi.
He's got two defensive ends.
Now, I think Sam Cosmi is going to go in the second, but people in the league right now are just keep crapping on Sam Cosmi.
Yeah. He's got Jalen Phillips.
Too high. Tons of injury issues. Well, said he didn't love football at one point. Good. Mostly good tape this year.
That's him 12th overall.
Ask Dell. Well, Dell, that's kind of crazy. Jalen Phillips, 12th overall.
Well, and
Tale de Truth.
And he's got Gregory Rousseau, 20th overall.
Jalen Phillips, when he played, and notice, this is a guy who came back from having multiple years off of football, got hit by a car.
But there was also
he had either concussions or something. Something that
Yeah, concussion and a wrist injury from getting hit on a scooter.
Yeah, medically retired because I think the concussions, I think. And then he decided, you know, I'm going to give another shot. And once he got going, because he actually got to play, he was really good. He was a twitchy former number one overall player in the class. So, I mean, this is probably what he thought he was going to accomplish out in, 3 or 4 years, whatever. I think he redshirted, so 4 years.
Yeah, heard he's kind of a little bit of an a-hole. I don't know that. I heard that.
I mean, who knows? I don't think Miami would bash him, but we might find out later. Haven't heard that since he's been there. He's a good player. I don't know if he's a first-round pick. He doesn't have a lot of tape.
I don't know if Russo's a first-round talent. Pick. Rousseau had first-round stats in 1 year. We have 1 year of tape, and most of his sacks came at nose tackle, and he's like 6'6", 260 pounds.
65 pounds.
And there were a lot of secondary sacks. Like, I know a team that has a third-round grade. But everyone sees
Rousseau. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
because you don't really see him rush off the edge. None of his sacks, hardly any of his sacks, came as a what he'll be doing when he's in the NFL. It's kind of a lot of moving and stunts and twists and secondary effort stuff. So he's a tough one. I mean, that's 1 year of football that he plays. That's all I got. He didn't play this year. He opted out. So that's all teams have. 1 year of football with a lot of production at a position he's not even going to play when he rushes, and he's a former wide receiver. So he's played 1 year at defensive end in college football.
Yeah, he redshirted.
But he has great traits. So I don't, you know, that's really going to be hard.
He was a safety in that was his primary position, safety outside linebacker in high school. Bulked up for a year and went on to have double-digit sacks in the second season, then didn't play.
All right, so quarterback-wise, he's got Trevor Lawrence first. He's got Zach. He's got Justin Fields second. Zach Wilson third, which is 14th overall. Mac Jones fourth, 15th overall. Trey Lance fifth, 16th overall.
Yeah, Mac ain't going that high, I don't think. I do think Trey will. I think Mac is going to get hit by, the more people watch tape, they're going to be like, is it him or is it all the talent around him? Do we have to have a loaded talent around
him?
He's
pretty accurate downfield.
He is. He's a game manager.
Right, but he did it with a lot of, with no pressure on him.
I think Tua, no pressure.
No pressure.
And I think Tua, some of his struggles are going to hurt Mac Jones because people are going to say, ooh, is this just a Sark offense and throwing to Devontae Smith? And but I think he's made some really good throws. I just don't think he's a guy who is a leader of a team type. I mean, but to me, he's more of a Daniel Jones type.
I do wonder how that'll affect him because, I mean, struggles, they do all the extrapolation. Over 16 games, it would have been 20 TDs, 9 picks, and over about 3,300 yards and 65% completion percentage. Now, when you look at Justin Herbert, you're like, ugh, you stink. But over 16 games for a rookie, that's like, okay.
But you've heard it too, though. I know you've heard it.
Heard what?
From Dolphins fans, probably. Well, hold on. He was thrown to Smith and Waddle and Judy and Ruggs. And now, all of a sudden, and granted, he's got really bad wide receivers
by the way,
now.
It's not just a simple step down from throwing to Ruggs and
good,
Judy.
Is he as equal to the talent around him, or is Tua really helped out by the talent around?
Yeah, he's not throwing the great receivers.
But he's not throwing
the good receivers. Were so much better than everybody they were playing.
Yeah. Well, and you have to make the same consideration with Joe Burrow and everybody else. But, you know, that's why you watch and that's why you project. And Joe went into a situation where he's actually got some pretty good targets in Cincinnati. You know, they actually have some guys that can play a little bit. They drafted T. Higgins, which was smart. Deshaun's doing this. I do think that Deshaun, with no DeAndre Hopkins, and we did talk about it early in the year, that we thought this could potentially benefit him, but it was going to be bumpy early on. I think when it's all said and done, Deshaun learned something about the position without having his safety blanket. I really do.
Yeah.
I think this could be a good thing for him.
No, we said that. This could be the best thing for him. Mm-hmm. And turns out I probably was. So it goes Lawrence, Fields, Wilson, Jones, Trey Lance, Kyle Trask, Felipe Franks, Dustin Crum, Ian Book, and Sam Ellinger. 10th overall.
Yeah, Mon's going to be in there higher.
Yeah.
Mon will be ahead of Book. I think Mon will be ahead of Ellinger.
What about the North Carolina State kid?
I got to watch him.
Bailey Hockman or Devin Leary? North Carolina State or North Dakota State?
North Carolina State.
Bailey Hockman?
Yeah.
Oh, the guy who backed up. He came in because the other guy got hurt.
I don't know him yet.
He's got a pop gun arm.
And he didn't have Jamie Newman in the top 10, did he?
Nope.
See, Jamie Newman's tape has some issues, but he's got a lot of potential, too. He's working with Quincy Avery also. I'd put Newman ahead of Sam Ellinger, too, and ahead of Book. Book is undraftable. Sam is late. To me, Kellen Mond, if he comes into the worst-case scenario, he's going fourth round. Worst-case fifth round, I think he'll go fourth round.
He's got traits, man.
He does have traits, and he can zip it now. He throws a
he
pretty
does
ball.
Have a nice up. He
and he had a better
really
year
nice
this year. So, yeah, we'll see.
Najee Harris is the first running back.
Mm-hmm.
ETN. By the way, he's ETN now, not ATN. It's
Travis ETN?
ETN. Trey Sermon, third. Javonte Williams, fourth.
I don't think Sermon's going to go third.
He looks pretty good lately.
He looked really good against Northwestern, but he didn't have good tape.
Clemson, yeah.
Yeah. Looked we'll see really how he does against Bama.
He's got Javonte Williams from North Carolina, fourth. He's got Michael Carter from North Carolina 8th.
See, I think Williams is the third one off. And this kid Stevenson from Oklahoma is going to be shooting up.
He doesn't have him in his top 10. He's got Chuba Hubbard 10th, which is probably – Chuba would have benefited greatly from leaving after last year. He's got Jamar Jefferson from Oregon State, Kenneth Gainwell from Memphis.
Is Gainwell coming out for sure?
I haven't seen it for sure
on him. Gainwell was nice.
Javian Hawkins from Louisville, and then Chuba.
Yeah. Gainwell was a nice player.
He's got Devontae Smith, first receiver.
Oh, Gainwell opted out.
He opted out.
In August.
He did opt out, but he didn't say pro. I don't think he's declared.
They said opting out to prepare for 2021 draft. At least at the time he opted out.
Yeah, and then I think it changed.
I don't know.
This is a pretty good receiving draft.
It is. The top three to me are Smith, Chase, and Waddle.
And Waddle. Yeah. Elijah Moore, fourth.
I love Elijah. Oh, my God. I comped him to Antonio Brown. I'm like, this guy is really good.
The Ole Miss kid that went on all fours and peed on Mississippi State.
And speaking of Jalen Waddle, he's going to practice.
He's no way he's playing.
Set to return to practice.
Yeah, no way he's playing.
Well, we'll see. T.O. came back from what? Didn't T.O. break his leg in a playoff game and play?
Tibia, I think.
Well, so Jalen Waddle's been out since when?
And it was a break, right? It was a clean break. Mm-hmm. That's the best thing.
Yeah, it's easier.
Would much rather come back from than a ligament.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's got Rashad Bateman from Minnesota.
Look, I came back pretty fast on my foot.
No, you didn't. You still have an issue.
He's got Olave, seventh.
You can have Rashad Bateman if you want.
Chris Olave, huh?
Olave.
Okay.
I mean, he came back and looked pretty damn good.
Where does he have Amari Rodgers?
He doesn't have him up here. Kadarius Toney from Florida. He's got Rondale Moore from Purdue and Nico Collins from Michigan.
Yeah, it's a good list. That's kind of how I have him right now. I haven't done the, but that's kind of how I have him. I have Tony maybe a little higher than he does. I think Tony's got a lot of potential. He's got a chance to run some crazy, wicked routes. He's a freestyler. He doesn't really. I don't love some of the things he's posting on Twitter, if I'm being honest. It's amazing. You get a sense of some of these guys going on their social media.
Yeah.
These guys, if they're trying to fool anyone about their true personalities or whatever, I'd stay off. The agents have to tell them to stay off of social media.
He's got Ramondre Stevenson second as far as the fullbacks and H-backs go. Got Ben Mason first and Stevenson second.
Yeah, I think Stevenson's going to be considered a runner.
Yep.
Well, he's got him as a fullback.
Who's your highest rated Aggie, Lance?
Up to this point, it'd be Mond and then...
none of the offensive linemen?
Oh, Jared Hocker, the right guard.
Okay.
Cam Green, I got late rounder. Dan Moore, I've got late round undrafted. And Hocker, I got like possible third, fourth. But I've heard the Aggies are recruiting those guys to try to come back and run it back. Dan Moore's out. He's not coming back, the left tackle. But the right guard and the right tackle could still be potentially in the running to come back if they can recruit him back. They're seniors. But I think what Jimbo's saying is, hey, let's do it again. And you know what? I wonder if he'll try to sell Kellen Mond.
We'll see. I mean, because since Kellen Mond...
You could say, hey, Kellen, rehabbed yourself up to maybe a fourth round. Yeah. I think I can get you up to second round.
Right. It's 944 ESPN 97.5. Ben, we get you. And anybody else wants in, 713-780-3776.
This is Heisman's Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Sources tell Football Scoop A.J. Milwee is going to come aboard as his quarterback's coach. He was a former Akron offensive coordinator at age 30. When he was the youngest FBS coordinator at the time of his promotion, who just last week had agreed to become the offense coordinator at Arkansas State. So he's going to be the quarterback coach for Steve Sarkisian over at Texas. With Milwee set to come aboard, the new-look Texas offensive staff is set to look like this, according to Football Scoop. Kyle Flood, offensive coordinator and offensive line coach. Great hire. Great, great hire. Stan Drayton, running backs, and Holman Wiggins, wide receivers. I don't know. The above staff leaves open a tight ends position, which could potentially be filled by Alabama tight ends coach and special teams coordinator Jeff Banks. So, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Most important thing a coach can do is his coaching hires.
Kyle Flood is...
If they can develop players, if they can a game plan, and if they can recruit, you got a winner.
Kyle Flood's leaving Alabama as the offensive line coach. Another one's gone. Brent Key left before him. Like, it is amazing the turnover. Nick turns him over like Daryl Morey turns over a roster. It's that much turnover in the coaching staff. Yeah. And Holman, Major will be gone. Kyle Flood will be gone.
Holman Wiggins was at Alabama.
Was he Coleman? Was he too?
Well, he currently is. He'll coach
yeah.
His
so
last
I mean,
game
you're going to have.
Follow Sark.
I guess this is a blessing of like Nick gives this his blessing.
Yeah, he doesn't care
because Nick didn't let. Did Nick let? Nick didn't let Lane Kiffin call no. the.
He told him to beat it.
Yeah, he didn't do that with Sark, right?
No, Sark will be calling the plays, and then he'll hire Bill O'Brien.
I actually do think he's going to.
You think?
Who are the two coordinators? It's
Adam Gase and.
Yeah, Gase and. Oh, no, O'Brien. I 100% think that it will be Gase or. Nick Saban knows Bill O'Brien because they got the Belichick connection. Yeah. I bet you Bill O'Brien is in Alabama, and that is a great place to rehab your image.
It is. It really is.
And
Not
now
that he can rehab his image, but.
Nick is going to scream him down.
Yeah. All you got to do is be able to take it.
You know what? Bill might be better as kind of the college bully anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. No. College ranks is probably best for him. 949 ESPN 97.5. Let's get Ben in here. He's been waiting. What do you say, Ben? What's up?
Hey, guys. I had a question, and my question is, I know DeAndre Hopkins is better than Brandon Cooks, but my question is Brandon Cooks' speed and his skill set, is it more complementary towards Deshaun's skill set? And also, one more question is, what's going on with D-Hop in Arizona? Is he running basic routes? Is Tyler not having any chemistry with him? I'll hang up and listen.
It kind of slowed down, didn't it?
Yeah.
You know, there's some real heat on Cliff Kingsbury now. That I don't know if defensive coordinator's got a feel for it, if Kyler's struggling. I haven't watched him close enough. I don't think it's Pop, but, you know, they're already starting to have issues, the media and the fans, because the Hop not wanting to practice. DeAndre Hopkins is a diva wide receiver, right? I don't think there's any getting around that. That position, I think that position and the cornerback position creates the most divas in pro football. And Hop's got some of that. He's also highly productive. So, you know, you decide what you want to deal with, and that's what you deal with. And the other stuff you don't want to deal with, you don't deal with. But I'm just telling you now, something's going on over there in Arizona because they were not explosive. Like, this is 2 years in a row. This year they were supposed to be explosive, and it started off that way. And now it's really gone sideways offensively. And there's already talk about, is Cliff the right guy? Is Kyler the right guy? It's mostly Cliff.
Well,
he's taking
for 3,900 yards, 67% completion, 26 touchdowns and 12 interceptions in his second year. That ain't too bad.
Look how many points they scored.
Especially down there. Here's the thing. D-Hop had 1,400 yards, 115 receptions, 1,400 yards, a 12.2 average, but just 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's a lot lower. You would think that he'd be. You remember, 26 touchdowns isn't that big a deal anymore in football, by football standards.
No.
It's just not.
Well, by the way, the Texans finally broke 30 in 19 years. Finally hit 30 touchdowns.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And Kyler's got 26 in his second year. I think everybody needs to. Oh, my God. They were a game out of the playoffs.
Well, Kyler, Tua can catch it. Kyler can catch it, too.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what it is now. I mean, Kyler's a rookie year, 20 touchdowns, 12 picks.
Oh, everybody catches it. That's what it is. When you're an early pick, that's what happens.
That's what I'm saying. That's what it is now. Years ago, people would say, well, Kyler,
there is no
Kyler's on the right
anymore.
Track. Now it's like, well, what's going on there?
I can't believe this is even a talking point, this quarterback about Miami, Josh Rosening. Tua. That's crazy to me. You got to keep rolling with Tua and see what you have.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah.
That's stupid to me that is even coming up as a talking point. And it will. People will keep bringing that up. And you know who may lean into it at some point? Miami, so that they can try to weasel more picks out of that number three spot?
I think it has something to do with the fact that they're competitive. Like, they had playoff aspirations, because in a year where they, if they're not good and he puts up, like, I extrapolate the numbers, those numbers, he would have had better numbers than Kyler last year. But because they had a chance to do something, people are like, well, should he be playing? Maybe they need to move on. What? Because Zach Wilson or Justin Fields is going to be unlock what?
Yeah, because you're going to be so much better than the guy you've been waiting for 2 years.
Here's the problem. Kyler Murray had 5 games under 200 yards passing in a Cliff Kingsbury offense this year. That's
how many?
Crazy. 5 games under 200 yards passing.
He had something similar to that last year.
He 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He was 2-5 his last 7. I mean, they went out with a whimper.
Yeah.
That team did, and
he had 6 of them last year.
17 points against the Patriots, who are not a good team. They had 7 against the Rams, who were really, you need to be scoring more against him. You had 12 against the Niners. 28 against the Rams the other game. 26 against the Giants. 33 against the Eagles. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see how Kyler's going to be. I feel a lot better about our guy right now. And that's funny. We've had conversations like, who would you take, Kyler or Deshaun? And at some point earlier this year, I don't know. And now at the end of the year, like, no, I know.
There's no question.
Now, if you still ask me Josh Allen or Deshaun, you know, if you put them on any random team, I think that's a hard call right now. I mean, Josh has shown me a lot. He showed me a lot of mental makeup that I wasn't sure he had.
Answering your Brandon Cooks question, Brandon Cooks is a solid, solid $12 million receiver. Is Brandon Cooks more well-suited for Deshaun Watson?
But Deshaun needs a big receiver, too.
Than Fuller?
Yeah. If he can stay on the field. No, the team needs a vertical guy. They need the guy
Cooks
who runs the first and second.
Cooks
he can work all three levels.
Fast, yeah.
He can work all three levels. So you got him from the slot. You need a vertical guy, and you need a big target that Deshaun can, you know, feel comfortable going to when he needs a contested catch. So you still need those two guys. I mean, unless they bring Fuller back, which is still a chance.
And what do you pay him?
I'll let Ozzie figure that out. I'll let Alonzo figure that out.
You think Alonzo's going to figure out what to pay Will Fuller?
Somebody has to. It's called being a GM. I don't want Jack to do it.
I want Chris Olsen to figure out how much.
That's fine. Bring him back. Run it back.
You think they'll run back Chris Olsen?
I would.
For those of you who don't know, Chris Olsen was their cap guy.
Yeah, he was.
And they didn't have a cap guy anymore, and they're 13.6 million over the cap.
He was a good cap guy,
too. With 4 wins.
He was a good cap guy.
He was a really good cap guy.
They jacked him because he thought that there should be more conversation in the building before deals were made.
Yeah.
How dare you! Out of here! Jack! Poison him!
Poison him?
Poison him? He didn't get poisoned. All right. 957.
Oh, yeah. Joffrey got poisoned.
957 ESPN 97.5. Beat it, Lance.
Ooh. Out of here, Lance.
Beat it.
Yeah, out of here.
All right. Start making it out of here, Del. Me and Dell will carry you home. 713-780-3776. Come on in.
SportsMapBets.com is live. Stay up to date with betting guides for this week's NFL and college football action. Or check out SportsMapBets research tools and keep the lead in your fantasy league. SportsMapBets.com has all the info you need to make the best play.